from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today from SDPB, over the weekend, protests erupted in response to a mining operation near a Black Hills sacred site. A congressional subcommittee hears two bills to use Missouri River water for eastern South Dakota use and more. It's Monday, May 4th. Here are today's stories. A second day of protests erupts in response to a mining operation near Peshawar, a Black Hills sacred site. This time, at the headquarters of the mining organization behind the development. SDPB CJ Keene reports.
About 30 protesters, advocates, and community members gathered outside of the Pete Lean & Sons corporate headquarters to oppose the development at and near Peshawar. This action was organized by the Black Hills Clean Water Alliance. Denise Gallego, daughter of renowned indigenous journalist Tim Gallego, says every person in the Black Hills faces implications from potential adverse water impacts.
Not just Native people, it is a major recharge area for the Rapid Creek watershed that supplies water for all of Rapid City and Ellsworth Air Force Base and all the way down to Cheyenne River.
Gallego says it's an effort to push the envelope for mining in the Black Hills.
If they are allowed to mine at a place that is already acknowledged by the state, by the county, it has a memorandum of understanding with the tribes, it has already been acknowledged as a special place. There are no limits. This is really about pushing those boundaries and breaking down our protected areas.
Marlene Poorbear stood on the line, but says she dislikes the framing of this action as a purely activist-driven decision.
We're community members and we're protectors of our land and our water. We're not activists. Not just in this community, but the communities up by Hill City and surrounding areas that are against what Pete Lean & Sons and their corporations are doing. Protect Peshawar.
SDPB will continue to provide coverage for this story as it continues to develop. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
Pete Lean & Sons have yet to respond to a request for comment. South Dakota communities, both east and west, are continuing to eye the Missouri River as a water source for communities. A congressional subcommittee hears testimony on using the water body for eastern South Dakota. This comes on the heels of the same subcommittee hearing western South Dakota's pitch to draw water from the Missouri River. The U.S. House Subcommittee on Water, Wildlife, and Fisheries heard testimony on two bills to study the water body as a source for the Lewis and Clark, as well as the Dakota Mainstem water systems. While western South Dakota noted the need for national security at Ellsworth Air Force Base, the eastern water systems say the Missouri River is needed to maintain growth. That's what Representative Dusty Johnson stressed to the subcommittee on his bills.
It's rapidly growing, but in really an organic and healthy way. Growth that requires the right infrastructure and good long-term planning. And that's what these bills would help to do, because obviously if you don't have access to clean, safe, and reliable water, you're in big trouble. From a growth perspective.
One bill on the Lewis and Clark Regional Water System allows for a feasibility study to use the water body for southeast South Dakota and surrounding states. Troy Larson is executive director of Lewis and Clark Regional Water System.
Reliable access to high-quality water is foundational to economic development and quality of life, particularly in rural areas. Water from Lewis and Clark that our members have put to beneficial use supports existing manufacturers, food processors, healthcare facilities, and agricultural businesses while enabling future economic growth that simply would not be possible without a dependable water supply.
He adds it's, quote, clear additional water sources are needed in the coming decades. The second bill allows for a feasibility study into the Dakota Mainstem Regional Water System using the Missouri River for South Dakota and surrounding states. Ryan Johnson is president of Dakota Mainstem Regional Water System.
Water infrastructure requires long planning horizons. Projects of this scale take years, often decades, to study, design, and construct.
Both bills have a $10 million appropriation to pay for the feasibility study. No action was taken on either. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks. Nearly $56 million in South Dakota's state budget could be in limbo if a referred law campaign gets on the ballot. If the campaign were to succeed, state lawmakers would also have to address other legislation passed this year. A campaign is seeking to refer Senate Bill 245. The bill captures a scheduled sales tax increase and uses those dollars for property tax relief. It also authorizes a transfer of nearly $56 million from the state reserves to a property tax reduction fund. That transfer is supposed to happen July 1st. But if the law is referred and gets on the ballot, the transfer would not occur until the final decision on the law is decided by voters in November. That's according to an individual with the Bureau of Finance Management. It wouldn't affect property tax relief. However, if voters were to reject 245 at the ballot box, the legislature would need to address another law that accompanied it. The campaign effort has 90 days from the end of the legislative session to collect over 17,500 signatures. Governor Larry Roden says U.S. House Representative Dusty Johnson tried to blackmail him into not entering the gubernatorial race. Roden was speaking at the South Dakota News Media Association conference in Deadwood. He was responding to a question regarding a lack of civility in the race. Roden said that through a mutual friend, Johnson insinuated he would direct a large portion of his campaign war chest at Roden if he ran. That included funds from a super political action committee associated with Johnson. A super PAC launched an ad campaign accusing Roden of enacting the largest sales tax increase in state history. During the 2026 legislative session, Roden enacted two major bills that decreased property taxes in exchange for increasing sales taxes. Johnson dismissed Roden's remarks, saying he didn't approve the ad, but he doesn't disagree with it either. One of the region's largest charitable fun runs is taking place this weekend. The Avera Race Against Cancer is Saturday. It includes events in Sioux Falls, Aberdeen, Mitchell, Pierre, Yankton, and Marshall, Minnesota. This is the race's 38th year. Avera says total participation is expected to exceed 7,500. You can register for the event on the Avera Race website. Organizers say all money raised goes to local patients and families. As the summer gets closer, many people begin to do work on their homes and other do-it-yourself projects. Those often come with permitting and must maintain construction standards. Projects like adding garages, fencing, and decks often require permits from local government. Neil King is the chief building official for the city of Sioux Falls. He says the main reason to get permits is for safety reasons, though there are other benefits to homeowners.
Protects your property, protects your value, the way your roof is installed, siding, windows, and all that. That protects your home from weather. Keeps water from intruding and causing unforeseen problems that you may not see in the future. And then lastly, it can save you time and money, especially when it comes to the selling process. If you do work that's not done under a building permit and that's discovered when you're selling your home, you're going to be tearing sheetrock off the walls, redoing stuff to make sure that stuff is up to code and can pass inspections.
If unsure whether a project requires a permit and inspection, it's important to check with your local government for confirmation. The Rapid City Common Council is set to vote on a proposed plan to move the Rapid City Pier and Eastern Railroad rail yard tonight. The plan is based on the city's rail yard relocation and railway configuration study. Officials say the study found the city's rail system is impeding city expansion in some areas. It identified Box Elder as the most practical spot for a new rail yard. The full report is on the Rapid City government's website. If the council approves, the city would begin working with the state DOT and city of Box Elder on the next steps. The South Dakota Attorney General's office is releasing additional proposed explanations for a pair of questions set to appear on the South Dakota ballot. One is a constitutional amendment that would repeal expanded Medicaid coverage in South Dakota if federal funding drops below 90%. The other would require any future proposed constitutional amendments or revisions to receive 60% of votes to be approved. It's currently a simple majority. Both these were placed on the ballot by the legislature. Attorney General Marty Jackley says his office is required to produce explanations for every question appearing on the state ballot. He does not take a position on these proposals. You can read the full explanations and offer comment on the Attorney General's website. The Rapid City Fire Department says it may need to reduce its ambulance coverage area due to funding. The department estimates it currently serves 150,000 people over roughly 3,200 square miles. However, the fire chief says the department needs more units and staff in order to continue that level of coverage. SDPB's Delaney LaHood Burns reports.
Across South Dakota and the nation, emergency medical service providers say they've reached a crisis point. Ambulance services are facing critical funding and staffing shortages, while the cost of operations and medical supplies have skyrocketed. In December, Rapid City Fire Chief Jason Culberson sent letters to the city's neighboring jurisdictions, indicating that the Rapid City Fire Department ambulance service can no longer sustainably cover areas outside of city limits without funding support.
So we've stretched our folks to the max. We are asking, we've asked them more and more and more all along. In 2010, we were doing about 10,000 calls, 10 to 12,000 calls, and now we're doing 22,000 calls. And so we need more units and people in order to provide the service that everybody expects.
Last year, the Rapid City Fire Department handled 2,655 medical calls outside of city limits. In addition to Rapid City, the department serves Box Elder, New Underwood, Somerset, and portions of Pennington, Meade, and Custer County. Culberson says the cost to operate an ambulance service has risen dramatically in recent years, while insurance reimbursement rates have stagnated.
We've never aimed to ever make money. We always wanted to break even, but we can't even come close to breaking even anymore. Costs have gone way through the roof, and reimbursement has at best stagnated.
The Rapid City Fire Department Ambulance Service is an enterprise fund, with the vast majority of its revenue generated through the transportation of patients. However, reimbursement rates for those patient transports are significantly less than the actual cost of an ambulance run. For example, Culberson says a basic life support call outside of Rapid City limits costs $1,080. In contrast, Medicaid reimburses around $255 for that same call. Plus, the area's population has grown rapidly in recent years, adding significantly to call volumes. Culberson says the surrounding communities that could be impacted by the loss of coverage have several options. These include setting up contractual service agreements, forming ambulance taxing districts, or trying to get coverage from other ambulance providers outside of the Rapid City Fire Department.
The county could just put it in their line item as a budget line item and be able to fund it, which I think is an option, a very easy one. Another option is the tax district route, which not always is popular for obvious reasons when you're starting to talk about add on to our property taxes, which are already high. So those are really the two main options. Or the last option is that the county areas, they don't want to have ambulance services, period.
In South Dakota, there's no statutory requirement for counties or cities to provide ambulance services to their residents. Therefore, if an existing ambulance provider closes or must reduce its coverage area, impacted communities can be left with no ambulance service in an emergency. State lawmakers are working to address this issue with the Emergency Medical Services Funding Task Force, which meets this summer. The task force will study funding mechanisms to support EMS as an essential service, similar to fire and law enforcement.
Relying on volunteers and other municipalities just to cover the entire state on hopes that they will continue to provide services, those days are done. We have to find a way to ensure that not only the community members, the citizens of South Dakota, but also those that are coming here to visit. We need to make sure we have folks here in order to be able to respond and save a person's life.
Well, he's previously stated that the Rapid City Fire Department will end its ambulance response coverage to some surrounding areas in 2027 if formal funding agreements aren't reached. Culberson says the department will do everything it can to not leave people without an ambulance in an emergency.
I want to be clear that as long as progress is being made going forward, that we're not going to stop just because there isn't a contract totally inked and penned. We've gone down this path before it got to this point where it's an emergency, where we were trying to work on it, and nothing ever happened. It just kind of stagnated, stalled, and stopped. So that's why I put a deadline on it. My whole goal is to let's move forward. But I also want to be clear, as if no progress is getting moved forward, yeah, we may have to make that hard decision not to respond to those areas.
Currently, the Rapid City Fire Department has several small contracts with entities like Somerset and Kanata Basin to provide coverage. I'm SDPB's Delaney LaHood Burns.
And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.